News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
807, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Really glad that you and the fam got a chance to get away, get down to the beach before their school starts. So you were gone on Thursday and Friday. And so, wasn't as crowded. It was more crowded with jellyfish than it was with people.
Is that
what you were telling me?
Basically, yeah. The purple flags were flying.
That is just that's a bummer, isn't it?
Which you could still get out in the water, and plenty of people were. But it's tough to convince, you know, a 5- and a 7-year-old who already, I mean, they love the pool. They'll stay in the pool
anyway
until you get in and drag them out and say, no, you need to go eat something, or it's way time to get in there and start getting ready for bed. But there's some jellyfish out there in the Gulf, and they become a little more hesitant to get in the water.
You know, when the jellyfish begin to infiltrate the hotel pools,
then you have a problem.
Condo pools, yeah. Then you're kind of between a rock and a hard place. But it's a bummer, the jellyfish, for people who save their money and then get down there for, you know, one time a year.
Yeah, no doubt. And we do not fall into that category, just like so many of our listeners. I mean, we are just blessed, aren't we, that we have that right there in our backyard, and you had so many more opportunities to get in the water and see those great sunrises and sunsets,
and so much good seafood to eat down there. Not that Mobile doesn't have, you know, but up and down, you just have so much fresh seafood right there.
That was a big thing too this week. It was trying, because you find the places you like, right, and then you just, if you're anything like me, it works. You keep going, and so we wanted to try places that were new to us this go around. And even and this doesn't, I guess, technically qualify, but the new Baumhauer's there at the Tanger Outlets. I mean, I've probably eaten at Baumhauer's, any kind of Baumhauer's anywhere, at least 200 times I've been. But that new one in Tanger, which traditionally hasn't had many great food options. I know they had a, was it a Taco Mama there for a little, not a Taco Mama, it was a PS Taco Company. I think they have a Rock and Roll Sushi in there too. But
I'm not down that way often. I don't think of the Tanger Outlet Center as a place to eat.
Yeah, well, if you're looking to fill some hours in a day and you're just going to go mill about in the stores and slap your kids' hands every time they put them on something they want to buy, you're willing to put up with that, then you can waste a few hours away. So, yeah, we went to Tanger. That Baumhauer's they have there, big. It's like full Baumhauer-sized in the Tanger, and they had great service there. But we tried a place called Parlor Donuts on 59 that we hadn't tried previously, and that place was booming. It was
right
busy
on 59?
Yeah, right there on 59. Some really good donuts, and they had some other food too, but line was out the door. That's how popular that place is. And we did our OWA thing, which I know that we've argued about that on this show plenty of times. Like, how are they still in business? You have this big theme park, and it never seems to be overflowing with visitors. But every time I've gone, there have been people there. Now, it hasn't been overflowing with
people. Glad they're there. I mean, you know, regardless of, you know.
Well, even if they leave in the next 3 years, I'll say they served the Arwig family well. Because how many other places can you take take two kids, mine are, again, 5 and 7, and they were just getting, you have the theme park side, and then you have the water park side. And they, on the theme park side, finally feel that they're old enough that they're going to ride those rides without mommy and daddy. So they just kept lining up, and they rode the little roller coaster there probably 6 or 7 times in a row.
Wow.
They were building
some courage.
They were running so fast to get back in line that we had some injuries from the 7-year-old falling down, running to get back in line for the roller coaster that no one else was in line for, so she could get back on. But so you had that, and then the indoor water park, which a couple of the slides, they start inside and they go outside. And then you have the big wave pool outside also. Well, and we didn't get much rain at all while we were down there. We did have a storm roll through right when we got to the water park. Traditionally, that would shut you down, you know, as soon as they see lightning. But since we were inside, spent a good 6, 7, 8 hours out there at OWA. And I probably shouldn't talk about this, but a really scary situation at OWA too with a child. And ended up, you know, looked like he was having trouble breathing, you know, in the child's.
Just at the water park?
The children's section of the water park. Yeah, after we had been there for most of the day. And our kids were running around in the children's section, and they have slides and things there. And we saw another child who, it was a very, very serious situation, an all hands on deck kind of situation, like, let's get this kid safe. It was nearly traumatic, but they were able to, great
they revived
work
him.
So staff at OWA.
They found him in the water? Was he in the, was
when
he
I,
under the
when
water?
When I saw what was going on, they had picked him up, and I believe he was in the water.
Wow.
And I don't think he was in the water very long, but as we know, it doesn't take long for water to get into places it shouldn't be inside your body. And but I saw the staff, all hands on deck, taking care of that kid as quickly as possible. The family, once they were figuring out what was going on, they were obviously freaking out, and looked like the kid was in pretty good shape by the time they...
So you had to revive him.
Yeah, that's what I was seeing. Mm. Yeah, but fantastic job by everyone involved getting as involved as quickly as they did, and it looked like saving a life to me.
Well, thank God he's okay. So more than likely he slipped or something, ended up under the water.
Yeah, I would have to assume. And, yeah. And so I didn't,
little boy, how old?
Little. I mean, he must have been between 5 and 8.
Okay.
You know, if I had to guess. And I didn't see how he went in. But by the time I saw him, he was clearly unconscious and not breathing. So they did a great job of, I think, reviving him. I'm not entirely sure. And I didn't see the whole thing, so I don't want to put information out there that's not accurate. But that seems to happen for some reason when we go places.
You've got a streak
stuff going on, yeah. Like I told you, when we went to Animal Kingdom in Disney last year, saw a man having a heart attack right there in front of everybody, and that didn't look like it went as well as this past situation. Mm. But it seems to happen everywhere we go. Just need to I don't know. I think it has something to do with me. I'm not sure.
You're the bad luck. Okay, now all the bridges are open now, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, and that was another thing I wanted to do. I know that most of you down there, many of you travel it day in and day out, just going to work or back to the island or however you travel. But finally taking the new bridge that takes you south onto the island over the ICW. And I was so fired up about it that I missed the canal road exit to Gulf Shores. Yeah,
it sounded like it was almost counterintuitive. Like, you know you want to go... You're at the end of this bridge, and you want to go to the...
Wanted to go west into Gulf Shores proper. Yeah.
Okay. And so if you want to go west back to Gulf Shores, but the arrow pointed the other way...
Yeah, they had you getting on the left...
You didn't believe it.
I didn't believe it. Didn't believe my GPS, didn't believe the road signs. And so I ended up just getting into the missing the traffic circle completely, and it spit me out headed towards Orange Beach. Anyway, you live and you learn, but it was nice to be able to travel your bridges for just a few days, Baldwin County.
It's kind of that's a new sort of thing here where you got the traffic is entering Orange Beach, Gulf Shores.
Mm-hmm.
Is that considered Orange Beach or Gulf Shores right there?
And it's kind of right down the middle. But like you said, you have that brand new Gulf Shores High School Beach Express.
That's right. And you think this has got to be Orange Beach. No, that's Gulf Shores High School. It's right on the line, evidently. Also, it's new because forever I went over the Wharf Bridge to get to Canal Road, the Wharf and all that. And that's no longer... we hear it, but until you actually do it, it's not set in my brain that... Going down there, I'd have to move over.
Get on the left and then go into the traffic circle and then spit you back out towards Gulf Shores. It was a pretty smooth process. I say that knowing fully well that school wasn't in session and I wasn't making my way at 7 a.m. in the morning or 5:15 p.m. in the afternoon. So I know that many of the residents down there still have serious issues with the way that ALDOT decided to do the traffic where just southbound on that new bridge, and if you want to go north, you have to hit the Wharf bridge right there next to it, or just your standard 59 traveling that way. Took a look at the pedestrian bridge, too.
How's that look?
They have built up the, I guess, what will eventually be elevators, right, to get you to where you're going to walk across on the pedestrian bridge.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the bridge itself, but a conversation we had in my vehicle, and it's funny, you talk about these things for so long. I mean, we've been discussing it for years, but then actually explaining it to someone who has not been paying close attention.
Yeah.
And so we're driving over 59, the bridge going back north, and I say, oh, yeah, there's the pedestrian bridge. And so my wife goes, well, why are they building that? What's over there other than, you know, tacky jacks and you have all Lulus and all that? I said, well, they have to build that because they're making this bridge three lanes on each side. And when you do that, you get rid of the
pedestrian
and biking path.
So, yeah.
And I guess legally you have to have a biking pedestrian way over the ICW and onto and off the island. And my wife goes, so they're building an entirely new bridge just for that? I went, well, I guess they kind of are, yeah. So we'll see how useful that ends up being. And I know they're planning on making that a really nice little entertainment district down there, and I think that could go really well. But I don't know, will it be a busy enough thoroughfare there that will warrant, you know, that nice pricey new pedestrian bridge that's going there? That's something we'll have to check out and see once they get that thing going.
Also, your condo, family condo, I guess you go to the T.
Yeah, we're down
on
there.
59. You go to the right, right?
You'll go eastbound. So you take a left, which you're facing the Gulf. Yeah.
All right. So from there, I'm just curious about traffic on the island itself. Like if you're trying to get to the wharf from there, or if you're trying to get to wherever, if you're going by Canal Road or the Beach Road, or was traffic crazy?
Not at all. No, actually, when we were leaving the wharf and going back took Canal, you know, I wasn't taking the most efficient ways. I was just driving around. But I think it was late Friday night. It was awfully busy coming off of that bridge onto the island. And you could see everyone kind of merging in and going their way, going towards Gulf Shores or Orange Beach. But overall, really smooth weekend. And I think part of that is so many schools around the country are back in, are getting ready to go back into session, that it was a much less busy weekend than you normally see down there. So.
You know, and so you had OWA. Looks like you took advantage of that. Which I think you do that most every time you go down there.
Yeah. I mean, for the price and for as much fun as my kids have there. And listen, I know it's not overwhelming. There's not a million people like at Disney, but that's what I like about it.
Sure.
Right now, it's pretty nice.
And also, the wharf has got, they've got their, they put together some pretty good entertainment for people. I'm not talking about the concert, the outdoor concert.
Just venue, the shopping area.
They try to entertain the kids on weekends and stuff like that, balloon drops or whatever.
Yeah, and they have that new Jimmy Buffett place down there where Yoho Rum and Tacos used to be.
Yeah.
And so that's Jimmy Buffett now with that outdoor bar. And then down the street, Yoho Rum and Tacos set up next to the Daiquiri Bar. So they're still there. They're just not in the same location. And we actually added a new place. It's connected to the Spring Hill Suites over on the Event Center side. So it's there at the marina, but this is a restaurant attached to the hotel that's down just a little bit next to the Orange Beach Event Center, and that was really good.
It's on the water?
Fried crab claws for $12 for a half a pound. So, yeah, we had a good week and tried some new things, and would love to hear from you down there. Some other places we need to try
because,
like I said, you kind of fall into your same routine. You find the places you like, and then you just keep going.
Yeah, especially when you have a family, you know, you have to, you know, it's like, when you're making this proposal, that's like trying to get something through Congress. You've got two little ones that could yell about anything.
Everything.
And you have a wife that just wants to keep the peace. Mm. So down at the beach, are there newer restaurants that many of us are not aware of? Let us know. 251-343-0106 on the text line. Let us know about some places down there that may be becoming favorites of yours. I would imagine that there's new restaurants popping up down there.
I ate at a new Italian place in Orange Beach, too. Can't remember the name of that, but that was great. Martin says it's pretty self-explanatory. Right lane goes to Orange Beach, left goes to Gulf Shores. I go down there once a week, and I'm 75. Well, Martin, I told you. I folded under pressure. I had the kids yelling behind me, had the GPS telling me to go one way, had the road signs telling me, and I still got in the other lane. So that was totally on me, Martin. It should be much easier. CB, Carl says, good morning, guys. This is Laura's balloon ride into OWA. They had just flown over the indoor water park and were doing a splash and dash in the OWA Lake. Pat says, we were at OWA a few weeks ago and there were thousands of people there. We saw at least three medical emergencies. Good gracious. Yeah, I wonder how much of that was heat related 3 weeks ago. And finally, Michael says, our kids love OWA as well. Most of mine have wintertime birthdays and love doing their birthdays there now with the indoor pool. It's nice. Pretty awesome.
Nice. 821, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And we do have former U.S. Congressman Jerry Carl. He'll be in studio, I believe.
That's correct.
We'll start about 8:30 this morning.
A traffic tip or your own take on the news, text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk. Almost forget that guy's name is never here. Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings. No direct talks with Iran right now.
We're low-keying it.
Low-keying it. That's one way to put it. Yemen's Houthis attacked a Saudi oil field over the weekend. So things are going just great.
Yeah, Israel says we're not leaving Gaza.
If we're not leaving Gaza. We're going to disagree with your Trump's peace. Is it his peace committee or what does he call that team of bureaucrats?
Yeah, it's definitely a team of bureaucrats. They always are.
The Board of Peace.
The Board of Peace, that's right. And low-keying it, by the way, what Trump is saying we're doing with Iran. That sounds more like, you know, and I guess you didn't get to do this like I did with my generation, but when you or one of your buddies and you're younger and you're texting a girl, but you get all of this crowd input from your friends, and they're telling you, the best ways to be successful as you're texting and trying to, get a girlfriend, persuade take her out on a date or whatever. That would be, I would think, when you would keep it low-key, right? Hey, man, just keep it low-key. Don't be overbearing. Don't let her think that you're already in love with her. Like, we're just trying to get a first date going here.
You would have like a council of peace for when you're trying to date a girl?
Yeah, I mean, if you're hanging out with your boys or something, and you're texting someone, oh, man, so-and-so is texting me. What do you think I should – how do you think I should respond? Just keep it low-key. That would be when you would have those kinds of conversations, not when you're trying to end the war in Iran. It's just kind of a strange way to put it. We're keeping it low-key right now. We're just going to let them economically drown – and at some point, they're going to have to come back to the discussion table. But the problem is, we have midterms three months away. If you don't think Iran can drag this out well past that, and at least make things as painful as possible on Trump and the Republicans, then you haven't been paying attention.
No, the one low keying it is Iran. We can say we're low keying it, but we're just kind of responding to their low-keying it because they're not.
They've ghosted us.
Yeah, they have. Iran has ghosted the president,
and we're keeping it low-key. So where does that leave us?
Nothing. Like nothing. There's no good being done right now. Iran's more like a big fat dog in the road that just doesn't want to get it. Doesn't want to move. Doesn't want to do anything that's productive toward an end to any of the conflict going on over there right now.
And then we have the question, how's our inventory looking? Because there have been reports that certainly with the Patriot missiles for defense that we're running low on those. But then even beyond that, there were some reports last week that other missiles that were starting to see significant depletion in our inventories.
We were urging the company, the Pentagon's been urging now, or however you want to say it, the manufacturers to get with it and build more.
So the Pentagon, over the weekend, they said that these companies, these defense contractors, have 21 days to outline how they can accelerate deliveries while also expanding their capacity for manufacturing. I had this analysis from the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Putting some numbers on this, they said U.S. Patriot interceptor stockpile has fallen by at least 65% since before the conflict, from roughly 2,330 missiles to between 760 and 830. THAAD interceptor inventories are estimated to be at least 38% lower. You've heard the president. He continues to dispute reports of a shortage. He says the U.S. maintains massive amounts of munitions and continues receiving newly manufactured weapons.
Yeah, well, those are two different stories with exactly two different narratives. 830, Jerry Carl on the way.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, 835 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Here in just a minute, we'll be joined by former Congressman Jerry Carl. Hopes to be Congressman once again. That special primary election coming up tomorrow. Any questions, get us on the text line, 251-343-0106. But right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Morning, Louis. And a big week ahead of us. Big week for you at McConnell Automotive. I know school's back in session. There's probably still some parents out there looking for the right kind of ride to get them where they need to go, right? Whether it's a kid hauler to get them to practice and back, or maybe something to tow the camper or boat with. Yeah, can you hear us, Louis?
Hello?
Maybe not.
Oh.
Can you hear me now, Louie?
Louie.
I can hear you now.
All right. Okay.
Tell us about the deals at McConnell this week. What's everyone interested in?
Everybody's interested in 1.9 for 60 months on them half-ton Sierras. I mean, great interest rate, great selection we have here. We got a great selection of Yukon and Yukon XLs. Hadn't had a lot of those, but we've got them here. Got a pretty blue-looking color that they just came out with. Looks great. On the used car side, we want to thank everybody for coming in Saturday. We got, four or five trades that we'll have, try to have them out front tomorrow. And we just got a great selection of used cars. You can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Good stuff. And hope you have a great week, Louie. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Raddup. Go see him. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and they have a great website as well. That's McConnellAutomotive.com.
My friend Jerry Carl dropping by to say hello a day before the big special election tomorrow. Jerry, good to see you. It was good to see you down at the Vets to Cowboys event with Jeremy Clark on that very hot Saturday, a couple of Saturdays ago.
Yes, it was a little bit warm. So.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It was just...
When Jeremy said, load up in the cattle trailer, and we're going to bring you to the other side of the field, I went,
I'm out.
To go home.
And it's been good seeing you around. You've been making your way around the entire district, but we've gotten to see a lot of you here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And really, I mean, I imagine this has just been a race unlike any other, or two races unlike any other, to go through that entire, you know, campaign season thinking we're going to have these districts the way they're set here, but they may just change, and they eventually did something more used to what we're seeing around here with the way these districts are set up now.
So I did an interview last week with Northwest University students, and they're writing a chapter on political science, their department, on this race.
Wow, really?
Yeah, they are, because, the lines changed four times. Most people don't realize that. They kept moving. We'd spend money in Dothan, in the Dothan TV market. And, the last drop we made there was $250,000.
Mm.
And, you got to raise every dollar of that. It's not like it grows on trees. But anyway, so the lines kept moving, and we kept moving with it. You know, we just stayed positive. We felt like it would, at the end of the day, work to our advantage, which is all Mobile County and Baldwin County put together. That's the whole landscape right there, one snapshot. But we got within a week of the election, and we got a call from the governor's office, and they told us that, hey, you're going to be on the ballot, but you're not going to, it's not going to count.
So for a race that didn't count, okay, so it's a week out, right? So it's a week out. Now you find out this race is not even going to count.
Yeah.
So what do you take from those election results anyway?
Well, we it was a great poll.
Yeah.
It told us where our weaknesses are at, where our strengths are at.
It was like batting practice in the middle of a game or something like that.
I mean?
Practice at the same time.
It was a strange scenario, but they called it a ghost election.
That's
which
right.
That's never been heard of before. Mm-hmm. So this is all part of what this Northwest University students were putting into a chapter they're writing on us. So
you're in the history books.
I don't know about me, but the election itself would be in the history book.
Yeah. I imagine you're more comfortable with the layout of the districts now. Not that, I mean, you were running as part of District 1 was going to be extensively into the Wiregrass region.
And we won that. And, we were at 40%. It would have been a runoff situation, obviously, but I think we would have won that one hands down.
You had a good showing.
Yeah, and because what we would have picked up from the candidates that were not strong, I think would have been more than enough to take us across the finish line. So we're proud of that. But the district, the important thing is not myself. It's about the district. And the district is Mobile Baldwin County. We have so much in common with one another. What affects Mobile affects Baldwin. What affects Baldwin affects Mobile. We have to keep it together and work together.
Yeah, that was ridiculous the way that was all.
Yeah, and Covington County, we've got a lot in common with them too. I mean, we're those three counties are very important to keep together in my mind.
Mm-hmm. So you spent some time in D.C. You were a sitting congressman, of course, and it's been great hearing your wealth of knowledge over the years, just being able to relay back to the people here that listen on FM Talk 106.5 about how things are going up there and why they go that way. But I have to tell you, just like so many that end up working in D.C., it seems like it really wears on you, and you get tired of the dealing with some of the politics up there and the way people act. Why are you wanting to do this again? When did you decide, hey, I want to give this another shot?
You know, I love the job. I truly love the job. I think Washington, D.C. is one of the most prettiest historical cities we've got, and I encourage everybody to come and look at what our history looks like there.
And it looks better now.
Yeah, but I don't like living in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C., and that's the down part of the job. The upside of the job is I like the challenges. You know, I understand what the opportunity, what our needs are in this district. I can go up there, I can focus on those needs, at the same time help write, you know, some good, strong legislative. I go back, I get to keep my seniority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the average congressman up there only lasts 6.5 years. So I go back on, I will go back in should I be elected. I'll go back in with my 4 years seniority. So that puts me on a good committee assignment.
Yeah, and also, Jerry, all the relationships that you built, you're very much a relationship building sort of guy. So yeah. All those relationships you built the first time around, many of those are going to still be in place.
And that's one thing that took me through, especially the first half of this race, was those relationships, because yeah. those congressmen were sending yeah. me money for my campaign.
Yeah.
They wanted me back up there. Leadership was sending me money. Congressmen were sending me money. So that's important. They've dealt with me for 4 years. They know who I am and what I'm about. You know, I'm not a troublemaker. I'm a quiet kind of guy. I don't go out and, you know, try to burn the building down. I try to figure out how we can patch and repair it and move on.
Hmm. Unfinished business. You could probably talk about some unfinished business for the rest of this show and well into Jeff's show, but specifically for you, and you had so many things you were working on while in D.C., what do you feel like you've just got to get done, something you had begun and you want to see it through to its completion?
The bridge. We've got to get the bridge well funded, and I keep talking about how we're going to do it. I've had this conversation with President Trump a few years ago about the bridge. I know Katie and Senator Britt. I got to quit calling her Katie.
Hmm.
A little disrespectful there, but Senator Britt and Senator Tuberville have really worked on him. But you know, I think I've got a little different approach than what they have taken. My approach is national security.
Hmm.
Period. Most people don't realize Mobile being I-65 from Mobile to Chicago and I-10 from St. Augustine, Florida, all the way to
L.A., I guess, right?
Yeah,
San Diego,
LA.
All the way.
San Diego. But, you know, it's just a security issue, and we need more help. We need more help. Second thing is the forest, underwater forest we have out off of Gulf Shores.
Mm.
You know, that didn't mean a lot until you see furniture companies go down there and start reaping that stuff. Because right now they can go down, pull it up, make furniture out of it.
Mm.
And that would we don't need that. And the Corps has really worked with us trying to protect that. You know, our waterways, you know, you're talking about the Delta. I refer to, in Congress, I refer to it as the Northern Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps everybody's attention because that's what it truly is. Mm-hmm. It's North American Amazon. And we have to be very, very careful with that from an environmental standpoint. I'll go back on natural resources. So that's good. I go back on natural resources with those 4 years' experience. And that's extremely important to South Alabama.
Yeah, no doubt. And what do you think, too, in the meantime, all this work that South Alabama Marine Sciences have been doing along with so many other, you know, helpers around the country, I guess other universities that jump in, but just to show the fisheries, you get these federal guidelines from the top down, and they've been so far off on so many of these numbers, but I imagine just a lot of that science that we're doing down here, you're utilizing that along with some of the resources you want to just keep safe, like you said, in our little Amazon right here, big Amazon.
Yes, so you got Dr. Valentine, who's over, obviously, the South Alabama, or the Sea Lab. He's my neighbor across the street. So I get out and walk the dogs. We'll stand out there and talk. And he was all excited the other day because they were going out, and they were harvesting the first redfish in a farm that they have out in the Gulf, which most people don't give that much thought, but we eat a lot of redfish. We eat a lot of snapper. We eat a lot of fish. We figure out how to grow them in a manner of in cages, for lack of better words. They're huge nets, is what they are. But we can certainly save a lot of fuel from running and chasing them from a commercial standpoint, not mm-hmm. necessarily from a entertainment standpoint. But working with these type people That's something I've been doing for the last 15 years, being a county commissioner, south part of the district, being mine, Ballabatry, obviously working with the Shrimpers. Now you're talking about the charter boat captains out of Gulf Shores. I mean, it's just a huge array of different people in the environmental that are affected by the environmental interests. So I take that experience back to Washington. I don't have to get in line and wait 2 years to get on a committee. I can go back and talk the language with them immediately.
You're talking about your knowledge of the south end of the county. You reminded me at that Vets to Cowboys event that was your, I think I had a little trouble finding my way down there. You said, I didn't have any trouble. Yeah. I know the back of my hand.
I know every little picture.
Exactly where I was. Trying to figure my way down to see Jeremy's farm. But also now, you're easily branded kind of an establishment guy now. That some of your opponents would say that. Whereas, how do you shake that branding off and say, no, that's not really who I am?
Well, I'm kind of an odd creature in that I was 40 years in business for myself, and I walked away from my businesses, and I'm so proud I did it. I'm excited where I'm at and where I'm going. But I walked away to serve. That was my way of giving back to the community, because the community has always given to me.
Sure.
So spending 8 years in local government and 4 years in Congress, I mean, I've got a pretty large palette here that I've painted. Being one term at any position, and you're labeled as a lifetime politician.
Yeah. Swamp, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the good old swamp and all of that. So, you just have to take it. It's people that have no experience, people that have no record to run on, that say that kind of stuff about you. And, I get it. I mean, they've got nothing to run on themselves, so they have to pick on you a little bit. And I don't hold that against them. I get it. I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it, but I get it.
We're talking with former Congressman Jerry Carl, and wake up. If you forgot, tomorrow the special primary election. No runoff for this one, so leader in the clubhouse will be the Republican candidate for AL1, and that is coming up tomorrow. You've picked up some endorsements along the way, too, to say the least, some pretty big names that have jumped on board, including the president.
Yes, President Trump got on pretty early in this last cycle. Senator Britt obviously got on Alpha, which is huge in our district. I mean, to pick up Alpha Farm Federation is just huge, because our farm community obviously is large. But my gosh, it's a who's who. The mayors started piling on last week, and my staff literally just started taking phone calls and writing names down. I think they released a new list today. I haven't seen it yet, but I think it's supposed to come out today. But it's a who's who of elected officials. Mm-hmm. And again, these are people that I work with. These are people that understand how I work. I view government as a team sport. And Alabama is the team. And whether it's our mayors, our county commissioners, city council members, anybody that's in government in my district, that's the team. And I want to hear from them. I want to talk to them on a regular basis. I want to hear what their needs are. I want to hear what their fears are. And that's part of that team effort. So I'm not out there alone.
Speaking of fears, we now have something that has popped up and suddenly has become a big issue, and that's data centers. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the crux of the matter is the fear of the unknown, the fear of the data centers themselves, the fear of
utility bills going
all
through
of it,
the roof.
Yeah.
So let me run through what I've
Please,
done.
If you
I'm,
would.
I'm not one to get on social media and let social media determine what my opinion is. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing a deep dive. We have data centers in Mobile. Most people don't know where they're at. Mm-hmm. Do you know where they're at?
No.
There's one on Halls Mill Road. Mm-hmm. So I went out there and I parked and I walked around it. You can't get in it, but it's there. Sounds like an air conditioner humming, like you would any commercial building. Now, that may be the exception. The other ones may be louder. I've got a tour set up at the Google facility in Marshall County. They've got one up and running. I've got a tour set up 2 weeks, 4 weeks away. Anyway, but I'm going to go up there, and I want to touch it, taste it, hear it, feel it. So I'm going to get a feel for that. I reached out to the power company. I had a chance, not Alabama Power, but all the small power companies put a little a luncheon thing together for me, and I sat them down and I asked them. I said, "What are y'all doing to secure us?" And they go, "Well, to start with, we require $200,000 to do the study to tell these companies how much it's going to cost to get power to them, mm-hmm. and they pay 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's the key.
Right?
They're paying 100%. Now, if they decide to go forward with it, that $200,000 is applied to the construction cost, and they don't lose it." They said they've had roughly 200 companies come to them. They said they've had three to actually move forwards. They said there's a lot of speculators that are looking,
mm-hmm.
but the powers themselves. You know, you're talking about the sound. You know, when you look at a steel mill, how much noise is going on in a steel mill? And long story short, I hadn't made my mind up yet because I still want to touch it, smell it, and feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start comparing one to the other, the average power plant will use somewhere between 2.5 million gallons of water a day to 1 billion gallons of water a day.
Mm.
The facilities that I'm going to look at, it's got an enclosed mm-hmm. radiator system, I like to refer to it. I think the discharge is one of the questions. I want to know how they monitor that discharge and what's mm-hmm. in it, if anything. I mean, I just still have a lot of questions.
Yeah, that closed loop system seems to be carrying a lot of the weight for the communities that are looking to bring this in. And when we hear the president or Senator Tuberville talk about this, they talk about the gold rush and how much money could be coming into communities. And I think we all feel that that's correct. I mean, we see all this talk about data centers all the time, but from what you've seen, the research you've done, is there really just like a waiting list of companies that want to come in and spend money in a place like District 1 in Alabama that could maybe change the future of this economy? Or what are you seeing there?
That's where I think we need to get involved. I think we need to limit where they build them. We don't need one built in the middle of town. We've got plenty of spaces outside of town. Obviously, we've got places the one that's going up in north part of Mobile County.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that 600 acres, and they're building in the middle of that 600
mm-hmm.
acres.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, I don't know how many acres that'll be, 450 acres of trees around them to buffer the sound. And, you know, that is a good idea in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But to build one, an AI center is different than a data center. A data center is, and I think we need to change the conversation. I think everybody's trying to loop AI data and solar all in one, and I think that's wrong. I think we need to split the three up and let's start talking about them. Data centers, AT&T, they've got their own data centers,
mm-hmm.
but you look at AI, that's a different creature. That's where you got massive computers that are running heat, and we've also got technology that I'm aware of that we don't. I'm not going to talk about, but we've got technology that's going to do away with these data centers.
Yeah.
So you say, well, why don't we build the data centers? Well, those are investors that's what we need today.
Yeah.
A technology may take 20 years, and the information that's collected by those data centers, think about that. If it's China, for example, and, you know, there's an investigation going from the House, from Congress, into misuse of Chinese money in Alabama, trying to sway this decision. But you know, when you start talking about these AI centers, all the information they're looking at what you're looking at, how you're looking at it, when you're looking at what time. They know exactly when to push an ad like Sean Sullivan. They know exactly when to push an ad of a new a fishing lure at what time he's going to get on his social media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can target it that way.
Yeah.
By the way, 7 tomorrow is the time that you need to make sure people are aware of.
Yes, please get out and vote tomorrow. We're talking about fishing lures and Sean Sullivan. Please get out and vote tomorrow.
We'll take a very quick break and come and wrap things up with former Congressman Jerry Carl. That special primary election coming up tomorrow.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Well, he was U.S. District 1 Congressman a few years back, and he'd like to do it all over again now that we've got all the districts figured out.
Yes.
Settled.
It is
Jerry Carl in studio.
And it's also settled that those polls will open tomorrow morning at 7. I know turnout has been a big discussion leading into this special primary election. We already see low enough turnout for the elections people know are coming. I know this one can be confusing for some, but here in these last couple of minutes, Congressman, lay out your case why people should fill in that bubble next to your name tomorrow.
Well, you know, I've got the experience. I've got 40 years of experience in business, 8 years in county and city government, and I've got 4 years in Congress. I mean, there's no training. You know me, whether you agree with me or not, you know who I am and how I think and how I operate, because I've grown up with all of you. Gosh. But it's a no-brainer in my head, obviously, and I feel like everyone else should think the same way, but they don't. They may dislike you for a particular vote or something. But tomorrow's a big day. They anticipate about 5% of the voters to turn out to vote. I think that's probably un-American, and I'm not calling people un-American. But, you know, we have fought so many wars, and we have stand and argued on the floor so many times for the right to vote, and I feel like it's just part of my responsibility as an American to vote. So I encourage everyone to get out and vote, set a 5%, let's get 7%, let's get 10%, let's get as many as we can get, and then, of course, the winter will go straight into November. But tomorrow is so important, because that 5% is going to determine who your next congressman is. So at least be part of that 5%.
Yeah. It's going to settle it all.
Yes.
Thank you for coming by us and encouraging everybody to get out and vote tomorrow. And we'll count those votes along with you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless.
All right. Former Congressman Jerry Carl with us this morning. Again, that special primary election opens tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Coming up, we have the Jeff Poor Show on the way. He'll have Dale Jackson on in hour number two. Plus, the candidate for AL1, Austin Sidwell, joins Jeff at the end of the show. And Midday Mobile follows. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 right here on Mobile Mornings.